Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder what your Sunday was like yesterday, as compared to what your Sundays were like in past Decembers. Normally, Decembers are filled with lots of church Christmas events, Christmas choir concerts, children's Christmas events, special Advent services, all leading up to major Christmas Eve services, but not this COVID year. What do you suppose God is thinking as he watches the world walk through December 2020 with social distancing affecting schools, family gatherings, business, and especially churches? For one more day, I'd like us to gather around Mr. Jeremiah and hear what he has to say to us. Join me, please, in chapter 7. Look at verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the entrance to the Lord's house, that's the temple, and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will allow you to continue living in this place. Can you picture the scene? Mr. Jeremiah standing on the main front steps leading up into the huge temple, shouting at the incoming throngs of worshipers, "Reform your ways!" So what would you have thought and done in response? Probably each of us would immediately have looked around to see who is this man shouting at, for surely Jeremiah's message could not be intended for me or you, could it? After all, we have set aside time and left our homes and come to worship, like all good people do, right? And of course, we have our offerings in our pockets, like all good people do. And we bathed last night, and we're all cleaned up and have our nice church clothes on, as all good people do when they go to church. So who could Jeremiah possibly be shouting at? Certainly not us. So my friends, go ahead and read through the next section of Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4 to 11, and consider the graphic detail in which Jeremiah describes who he was talking to and why. What do you see? I see what I've seen as I've walked into churches all over the world: tradition, ritual, and hypocrisy. People going through the motions, which are expected of them as they go to church, and yet their hearts have little genuine interest in what a life-changing relationship with God is really all about. We all have our own goals and ambitions in life. We have our lives segmented into manageable pieces. It's our work or school life, our home life, our family life, our social life with friends, our me time life in which we pursue entertainment or hobbies that we enjoy, and then usually a little room for a church life, right? Of course, when we look around, we're surrounded by the majority of the population, which, if they're really honest, they would say they are C and E church-going people. It means Christmas and Easter are the times that church fits into their busy lives. And of course, then, funeral and weddings, at least in the pre-COVID era. So do you see how well Jeremiah chapter 7 fits into our December 2020? No matter where you live in the world or what type of church you might have been going to if this were a normal December. Perhaps verse 11 sounds a little familiar. Do you notice it? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? Compare that with what Jesus shouted as he cleared out the money changers and the animal purveyors from the temple in Mark chapter 11 verse 17 and Luke chapter 19 verse 44 and 45. And what would Jesus have said if he had walked into your church yesterday? That is, if your church was even open. Might Jesus have said on the steps of your church yesterday what he said through Jeremiah, "I have been watching," declares the Lord. And if Jesus would say that about your church and mine, what do you suppose he has seen as he has been watching? And how do you think Jesus feels about what he has seen? Now look closely at verse 12 to 15. Jeremiah shouted this message from God. Go to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing these things again and again, I spoke to you, but you did not listen. I called to you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to this house that bears my name, and I will thrust you from my presence. Look around. The flow of people in and out of the temple has stopped. People are frozen in their places like statues. They are stunned by what they have just heard. If you know much about Jewish people, their ancestral history is deeply rooted in their family culture. The stories of centuries ago are well known by all, even the children. Shiloh was the place that Joshua had erected the tabernacle of Moses when they crossed the Jordan River, leaving 40 years of desert wandering behind them. You'll find that in Joshua 18. It had served many years, decades, even centuries, as the place the people of Israel came to meet with God. But then, as in the days of Jeremiah, people drifted spiritually, and when Samuel was born and brought to serve at the tabernacle in Shiloh, the high priest was Eli, and he had two wicked sons who were making a mockery of the worship of Holy God. They took the Ark of the Covenant out of the most holy place of the tabernacle and took it to the battlefield as a good luck charm. God removed his hand of protection, and the Ark was captured by the Philistines and taken into their territory for several months. You'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter 4. On that same day, a runner came back to Shiloh to report on the travesty. He told Eli, the high priest, that the Ark was captured, but that's not all. Both Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had been killed as the ark was taken. Eli was so shocked, he fell backward off his chair, broke his neck, and died on the spot. Word spread quickly through the village of Shiloh, and Mrs. Phinehas heard it. She went into labor, and she died giving birth to a premature son. With her last breath, she named the boy Ichabod, gasping, "The glory of the Lord has departed from Israel." Oh, the people of Jerusalem knew that horrible story well. And now to hear Jeremiah remind them of it and suggest that God was about to do the same thing to them in their day in Jerusalem, it was almost unthinkable. The record of 1 Samuel chapter 5 tells us that there was tragedy in each of the Philistine cities where the captured ark was taken. So the Philistines sent it back to Israel. But rather than returning it back into the tabernacle, the people of Beth Shemesh sent it to the town of Kiriath Yeharim and the house of Mr. Abinadab. Many Bible scholars believe the main reason for this is that the Philistines had ransacked the town of Shiloh, and the tabernacle had been quickly taken down and moved by Samuel and others to the town of Nob, where a few years later young David sought refuge while being pursued by King Saul. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 21. We have no biblical record of the tabernacle ever again being returned to where Shiloh had been. So you can imagine the fear which would have welled up in the hearts and minds of those hearing Jeremiah's warning at the temple in Jerusalem that day. In fact, it happened, just as Jeremiah warned. That great temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. The ark was taken captive, and eventually the entire city of Jerusalem destroyed. We'll look at that in days to come. But for now, please understand this. God does not waste warnings. Finally, please look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. It's almost shocking. It seems to be Jeremiah reporting to us what further instructions he had received from God on this occasion. "So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you." What? Is it possible God's patience reaches a limit that even people praying for the rebellious, God-mocking people is a waste of time and breath? What could have brought God to make this outrageous statement to Jeremiah? Well, look at verse 18. "The children gather wood, the fathers light the fires, and the women knead the dough and make cakes to offer to the Queen of Heaven. They pour out offerings to other gods to arouse my anger. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field and the crops of your land, and it will burn and not be quenched." Oh my, oh my. That phrase, Queen of Heaven, is used only twice in the Bible, both times by Jeremiah. Many ancient societies worshipped idols of women, claiming they were the goddesses who blessed women with fertility. Since children were highly desired, such worship was widespread and sadly infiltrated into Israel too often. Ashtoreth is one of those Queen of Heaven fertility goddesses, which appears often in the Old Testament as evidence of extreme wickedness in idol worship in Israel. I've put a link at the end of my notes today giving you more information about this Queen of Heaven. Last evening, my wife and I were talking about Jeremiah's messages, and that this is December, it's Christmas time. It should be a time of joy and good cheer and well-wishing. Jeremiah's harsh words just don't fit. We don't want to hear it. That's true, isn't it? We'd much rather hear the songs of Christmas and eat the foods of Christmas and experience the joys of Christmas. But as God looks at our world this December, I think it's important we also hear what God has said to his people in the past, and then ask ourselves if this is a message that God is speaking to us today. What do you think? Lord Jesus, we stand with the crowd of worshipers in the front steps of our churches, and we listen to Mr. Jeremiah and we look around. Jesus, are you saying these same words to us? You are the head of your church worldwide. As you, Jesus, look at the churches in every city, every country in December 2020, what do you see and what do you think? What are you feeling and what are you saying to us?